Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? Well, I hope you'll send it to us. If you've got email, zap it our way, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. So today's question is going to be about the narrow and the broad road. We have a bonus question in addition to that, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But as for right now, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We're taking your questions. Are you ready, Bob?
I think I am, Sean. Let's give it a shot.
Have you had your coffee?
I've had tea. I'm not a coffee drinker.
No, you don't.
I like black tea and green tea.
What would you be like on coffee? I'm not sure.
I don't do Red Bull like you do either,
well,
so I don't know.
I think you'd be, be doing a marathon every day. Or I'm not sure.
I think one every year or two is plenty.
Well, here's a question from Willie. He says, I read Zane Hodge's book, Absolutely Free. His analogy of the woman at the well and the fact that the water is drawn one time and not repeatedly has convinced me that lordship salvation is a false teaching. However, the Bible mentions the narrow road and the broad road, and that makes me wonder how the broad road is connected to such an easy acceptance of faith alone and not to good works. So am I missing the point about the narrow and the broad road?
That's a very good question, and that's Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, I believe. You want to read that, Sean, and then we'll talk about it?
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. Sometimes the way is translated as road, right?
Right.
That leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
What I would suggest here is the narrow way is the way to everlasting life. The broad way is the way to eternal condemnation. Not everybody agrees. Some people see this as referring to fullness of life now versus judgment now, but that it's not eternal.
It's not a born-again issue.
Not a born-again issue. There are some people who take it that way, but I don't. I think this is entering into everlasting life.
Okay.
It's clear when you read John's gospel that the narrow way is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life, and the broad way is following the Old Testament law and keeping commandments, or if you want to carry it over to the New Testament, obeying the commands of the New Testament, committing yourself, obeying God, persevering in good works. So to me, lordship salvation or work salvation is the broad way. The free gift of everlasting life is the narrow way. Why is it that people who hold the lordship salvation call our view easy believism or cheap grace? Is it because everybody's on this path? No. Actually, very, very few people within Christendom are on this path.
Right. Most people believe in what Willie mentioned, lordship salvation.
Right.
Somehow your salvation depends on the works you do.
So they're on the broad way. It seems to me the broad way is not the person who is not committed enough, not working enough, not repentant enough, not trying hard enough to obey God.
Yeah.
The broad way is the work salvation, lordship salvation way. And the narrow way is what Jesus said in John 5:24. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Or John 5:29-30, a few verses later. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But
yeah,
these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that
right,
you may have life. The only way to be born again is to believe in Jesus. That's what coming to Jesus means.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Jesus, you know, referred to himself as like a door or as a gateway to the sheep, right?
Well, I am the way, the truth, and life. Or in John 10, he's the gate or the way.
So it seems likely that Jesus is talking about himself.
Right.
Not everyone's searching for Jesus.
And he is the narrow way.
He's the narrow way, yeah, because
right,
it's only him.
But it's not obeying him, committing to him, serving him.
Right.
It's by believing in him. He tells us what the way is. And if we reject what he says, even if we say, well, I am doing these good works in Jesus' name. Take a look at Matthew 7:21-23. That's where many at the great white throne judgment will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many wonders in your name?
Yeah.
And you'll say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, depart from me. It seems to me that the people who are pointing to their works are the people who are not going to get into the kingdom unless at some point in the past they believed. And by the way, Willie makes a good point. John chapter 4, when Jesus talks to the woman at the well, is a terrific illustration, because once you drink the water of life, you'll never thirst again. It's not, I need to drink it today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day, and every day of my life I need to drink it in order to retain everlasting life. Right. Once I drink it, it springs up in me a fountain of everlasting life.
On that note, here's a question from Tom. Tom says, I believe in once saved, always saved, but I don't know how to reply to one who brings up 2 Chronicles 15:2. Can you explain that verse to me? Here's what it says. Now the Spirit of God came from Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. Why is this a problem verse for once saved, always saved? Because it says, if you just take it out, just take the snippet, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And maybe someone who thinks every single verse about salvation or forsaking is always about heaven or hell, eternal salvation or not, they might look at that and say, see, if you forsake God, then he'll forsake you and you'll lose your salvation.
Well, we have other verses where in the New Testament, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And this statement is not a statement about our eternal destiny. In that sense, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. This is a statement about blessings here and now. In fact, notice what you read in verse 7. For your work shall be rewarded.
Right.
If we forsake God, we will reap the consequences of judgment in this life.
Right.
This was talking to Israel, but the same principle applies to the church. And if we seek him, well, then we're going to be found by him and blessed by him and rewarded by him.
Well, and this in particular, wouldn't you say this is about, I mean, first of all, he's speaking to two tribes, Judah and Benjamin.
Yes, the southern kingdom.
Right, and he's saying, you know, if you forsake God, God is going to forsake you, and you're going to incur judgment. You know, you're going to lose those blessings that you're talking
about. Well, remember, right? At this point, the southern kingdom had not yet been sent to Babylon for 70 years, but it was going to happen.
Yeah.
It would happen when Israel forsook the Lord. And of course, this wasn't individual, this was national.
Yeah.
So when enough of the people in the southern kingdom forsook the Lord, went after idolatry is what they were doing, they were going to be sent in exile.
So basically, this is where it helps making a biblical distinction between eternal salvation and temporal, this worldly, earthly judgment and discipline and those kinds of consequences.
Yes, and we need to realize that most references to judgment or to deliverance or salvation in Scripture refers to judgment in this life or deliverance in this life. It needs to be crystal clear in the context that we're talking about judgment after this life is over, eschatological judgment. That's clearly not the case here. Or that if you see the word salvation, that it's dealing with some sort of salvation regarding eternal condemnation, which those words aren't even used here, and even if they were, it's not, the context is not dealing with that.
Right.
What we need to recognize is don't let some random verses that are talking about Israel and judgment in this life somehow confuse you. Once saved, always saved is true. And we know it because Jesus said, He who lives and believes in me shall never die. John 11:26. Or he who comes to me shall never hunger, he who believes in me shall never thirst. These are clear statements of eternal security.
Right.
Or whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life.
Right.
Over and over again we have statements. So don't let some obscure verse somehow confuse you.
Yeah, once saved, always saved doesn't mean you can't ever get spanked by God or lose out on his blessing or come under judgment or discipline or chastisement. That's once saved, always saved is about once you're born again, that's it. Your eternal destiny is secure. But your spiritual growth, that's a totally different matter. And certainly what happens to the nation around you is a yet even further matter.
That is a great point, Sean. And, you know, my wife, Sharon, when she's heard me preach on this many times, she'll say to me, make sure you point out sin has consequences.
Yeah.
Yes, we can't lose everlasting life no matter what we do. But if we walk away from the Lord, like you say, we're going to get a spanking. Because God loves us, therefore he won't spare the rod.
Yeah, that's right. Not a lot of people teach about that. All right, well, here we have time, I think, for a very quick question. This is a question from Guy, and his question, I think, comes from Revelation. And he says he understands why believers are judged for their works, you know, to be rewarded. But why do, he says, reprobates or the non-elect appear before him when there will be two sets of books? Is it something like, okay, I heard your case, but this other book says you're not in it, so goodbye forever? I think what he's saying is, why are there two books at the Great White Throne Judgment?
Okay, that's Revelation 20, 11 to 15, and we have some articles on this at faithalone.org. But the quick answer is, first of all, the books of deeds are examined. And we're not told why, but in Scripture all the way through, everyone is recompensed according to their works. So believers will receive degrees of reward depending on our faithfulness, and unbelievers will receive degrees of torment depending on what they did. However, there's probably a secondary reason why we look at the works is to show that none of these people are sinless. They have no claim on God, like I never sinned. But secondarily, Revelation 20 verse 15 says, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
It's the book of life that determines destiny. It's the books of deeds that determine how much torment. So that's why there's two different sets of books. The basis of eternal destiny is found in the book of life. And we get there, of course, simply by believing in Jesus.
Thanks again for your questions. We love hearing from you guys. Keep those questions coming. Radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the Great White Throne Judgment, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.